We thank you. We thank you so much. We thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the time that we have been in your presence. We continue to be in your presence. We thank you, Father, that you have given us something so incredible, your word. Your word is a light. Your word directs us. And we thank you, Father, for your word that's going to come forth today. Give answers, directions, corrections, great love to our life, and we will be walking out of here a whole lot better in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so I'd like to start with a story. Let me tell you about this. Probably about every 5 to 7 years, Jack would tell me, "Hey, I think I'm going to give up coffee for a month." So like the good wife, I'd go, "Okay, I'll join you." So after the month, I'd be like, "Okay, I can have a cup of coffee." And Jack would make the coffee. How many of you know Jack's coffee was super strong, you know, stand a spoon up in it. So I remember the first time we did this, and we would cycle with this. And it was, because he needed it more than I needed it. So, you know, we finished our 30 days. He makes his coffee. I take a sip out of it, and I spit it back in the cup. I was like, it was so gross. So gross and so bitter. I was like, "Ah, my gosh." Now, for those of you that have never done that, how many of you have ever fasted food for like a week? 30 days. Okay. Same thing. So you go off of food. Maybe you're going on a water fast. I have never done a water fast. I'll do a food type thing here. But Jack would do this. So then he'd finish his 30 days fast and he'd go, "Okay, honey," he was finally smart. He goes, "Let's start with vegetables, you know, better than hot dogs, right?" So we'd start with vegetables and I'd do a stir fry and he took one bite and he goes, "Oh my gosh, what did you put a cup full of salt in there?" I was like, "No, I just put my usual little pinch. I mean, not even a quarter of a teaspoon or something like that, just like a pinch." And so what happened, y'all? What happened when you do a fast, either coffee or food? Your palate changes. And the things that you used to do, you could put up with, your palate has changed. And you're like, you can't put up with it anymore, right? And of course, we go back to coffee, but, you know. My coffee's pretty strong. Not so bad. Yeah. Okay. Just add water. That's right. Just add water. All righty. So we're going to talk about that same principle today as we go on. And it has to do with our race. And if you've, we have been talking about the race that God called us to. So we're going to talk about a race. And today we're going to talk about another spiritual exercise. Okay, another spiritual exercise that we ought to be doing, all right? Because the spiritual exercise that we're going to share today will help change your palate. Will help change your palate, and it's actually going to cleanse this so that you can run your race and win, right? So that's a good thing. Wouldn't you like to win your race? Well, we're going to get some exercises so it'll change it, all right? If you're a guest here today and you haven't been here or you haven't been here for a couple weeks, we started 2 weeks ago a series called The Gold. And it's all about the Olympics because, you know, about a month ago we had the Olympics and I thought, gee whiz, here's these great, incredible athletes that are so disciplined in training and they are super dedicated, all right? They go to the Olympics and they train for half their life. So I figured if they do it for a gold medal, and we are called to a race, I think we can learn some things about the way they train, the way they exercise, the way they dedicate it, so we can win our race. So that's what this whole thing is about. We started talking about how everybody's in a race, and that at the end of the race, you get prizes. Anybody like prizes? I always like prizes. We get treasures and rewards and prizes at the end of our race. And our text that we were reading out is 1 Corinthians 9. So open it up, 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9, and they're going to pop it up on the screen. This is out of the Living Bible. First Corinthians 9, verse 24. You know, it's the really amazing thing that we're in a race and we receive these rewards and treasures. Our rewards and treasures are for eternity. Now, these Olympic athletes, they get golds and medals and, you know, stuff like that. They're not going to count up there. All right, so here we go. 1 Corinthians 9:24. The Living Bible. Sorry about that. All right, I'll read it. Here you go. In a race, everybody runs, but only one person gets first prize. So you are to run your race. So you're to run your race. Now, this tells me everyone is in a race. The day you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you were enlisted in the race. The day you received Jesus Christ, you got entered into this race. So every one of us is in a race, and your race ends, you know, the ribbon or the line that they cross over. Well, your race ends when you die. When you give up your last breath, you die and you go to heaven. That's when your race ends. But for right now, you're in a race, okay? And listen, when you get to heaven, it's going to be awesome. You're going to be before Jesus when you get to heaven at the end of the race, all right? Now, remember, I do this every week. I say this every week so no one gets goofy in their brain. You get to heaven not by your works, not by all the good things. That's not how you earn your entrance into heaven. For by grace you are, and not of yourself. It is by faith in what Jesus did. So it's by, that's how you get in the race that gets you to heaven, all right? But, there's a big but on this, all right? So when you die, you arrive in heaven. We talked about you are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and look at Jesus in the eye. And what you really want to hear him say is, hey, good job. Man, you did really good with everything I gave you. You may not have been the sharpest pencil in the box, but you did really good, right? Because he's looking at you and the race you ran. He's going to look at me and the race I ran. And I am waiting for high five. Good job, Dee. Come on in. Okay? And how about you? Anybody want to? Yep. Okay. Now, the last 2 weeks, or really last week, we went over that you're in a race, and this is how you run your race. We went over two things. You run your race by loving Jesus and living Jesus for Jesus. By loving Jesus and living for Jesus. That's how you run your race, okay? So loving Jesus, simply, Jesus actually told us, he says, this is how you do it. You're to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your all, okay? So Jesus says, tells us that in the Gospels. But really what it says is, Jesus, I love you. And you are first. You are first. That's simply what it means to love the Lord God with your whole heart and soul. So he is first. Okay, now, if you love Jesus, and we were talking about degrees of loving Jesus, okay? But you have to get the CD if you missed it. But if you love Jesus like that and he's first, the next thing that's going to happen is you want to live for him. If you love him, oh, I love Jesus, oh, I love Jesus, then you will want to live for him. Live for him / serve him, okay? So what is living for Jesus? It's saying, Jesus, I thank you that you forgave all my sins. You saved me. You've given me a new life. You've made me righteous. You've made me holy. Thank you, Jesus, from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for what you've done for me. And I want to help you. I want to help you in your agenda. Okay. God has an agenda. Do you know what it is? I have an agenda, by the way. Most people I meet, they have an agenda. But God has an agenda, and his agenda is connecting people with Jesus so that they will be a part of God's family. God's agenda is people coming to know Jesus so they'll be a part of the family of God. God's agenda is you are a part of the agenda. You are God on the earth. You get to tell people God's agenda. You get to tell people who Jesus is. That's part of God's agenda, okay? That's actually living for him. That's living for him. Now, not a whole lot of you are going to stand behind a pulpit. Some of you would go, thank God. But listen, you are all called to, the Bible says, a ministry of reconciliation. But really simple is you're all called to help God with his agenda. You get to tell people, you get to live for him. And one of the easiest ways, and probably most of you will do this, is you become a volunteer in a church. That's probably the majority of what people do on a regular basis, And then I'm always, yes, hallelujah, we have volunteers. How many of you volunteer at YCF? Bunches of you. Thank you. And I love walking in. You don't know, if you volunteer here, you know what happens on a Sunday, especially on a Sunday. There's crazy things that happen before you ever show up here. And I see these faces that are smiling and I'm like, guys, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And really what it is, thank you for living and serving the Lord, that you help me do Jesus's agenda. You are helping me, the YCF, the vision of YCF, accomplish Jesus' agenda. So when people always say, Pastor D, I'm here to serve you. Salami, salami, baloney. Okay? I was like, what? No. You are here to live and serve the Lord. Okay? Though we need volunteers. Okay? And I'll grab you later on and say, you know, God puts you on my heart to do something. Yeah. Okay. All right. So, we all have a race, right? So it says everybody runs a race. So raise your hand if you're in the race. You're in the race. Okay. Now, your race is probably different than my race. And your race is different than their race. And my race is different than yours. But you are all in a race, loving and living for Jesus. Okay? Real easy. All right. Now, that was just to catch up so you know where you are today. All right. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, would y'all? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In this day and age, caramba. I love when we used to hear, okay, but now you got all this electronic stuff. I love the sound of pages, all right? And if you don't have a Bible, it's okay to borrow one. We keep them in the stash behind the coffee and connect bar, all right? But I love, okay. Thank you. Please rattle them, all right? It also tells me you're on the page, okay? You're on the page. You know where we're going. Sometimes this can be the curse, all right? But here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is the Apostle Paul that's writing this. And he's writing and he's telling about the children of Israel who have been delivered out of Egypt, okay? And in the first five verses, he tells us four things that the children of Israel did after they got out, okay? Four things that they did that after they got out that we can get involved in. We can do the same four things that those children of Israel did. And the problem is, if you do those four things, it will knock you out of your race. You better be looking at what those four things are and have them underlined, okay? So they'll literally stop you from loving Jesus and living for him. So I think it's really important to look at them. And we're going to look at, last week we looked at verse 7, and it was about idolatry. So if you have your Bible, you should have it already underlined from last week. So last week we looked at verse 7. This week we're going to read verse 8. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8. Here we go. How many of you guys want to finish a race? Okay, so it really is important. We know those things that would stop us, right? Okay, here we go. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day, 23,000 of them died. Now, he's referring to the children of Israel as they were delivered out of Egypt, okay? And what he's saying is that stopped their race. That stopped their race, these things, okay? Now, they were under the law of Moses. We are New Testament. Yes, New Testament, okay? The law. So what that means is if I am sexually impure, I'm not going to drop dead like 23,000 of them. Say, I am so glad I live in the New Testament, right? Yeah. Some of you don't want to look at me, okay, because you put that together. All right. Now, again, we live under the New Testament, okay? But you know what happens? This tells me that scripture. Those four things will knock you out of your race, stop you from loving and serving Jesus, okay? They actually will distract you, and you're not going to win, right? So this one, sexual immorality, that's what it'll try to do. So we want to know what God says about it. So today we're going to talk about not immorality. We're going to talk about purity. We're going to talk about sexual purity. Now, some of you have probably never been in a church where you heard anybody say the word sex, 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 sex. Okay? Some of you, this might shock you. You should go to Pastor Sherry's classes downstairs. I mean, especially, well, senior high. Senior high. We, and it's in a closed group. Okay, so. Yeah, they split them up and stuff like that, and they say, sex, 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 sex. Okay, okay. Okay, my cheek's getting red. You know, I'm old school here. Okay, but listen, guys. We live in a culture today that is sex crazy. Yeah, okay, listen. 30 years ago, I was trying to think back. That's how old I'm at. But I was trying to think back X amount of years ago, 30 years ago, you would have not have seen Victoria's Secret's commercial on bras and panties. Would you? No. You would not see so much skin on TV, right, like you do now. There's a lot of skin. You don't even need an imagination, okay? Because, guys, we live in a culture that's sexually crazy, okay? So today we're going to talk about God's standard today. Today we're going to talk about God's standard today. Today, God's standard, okay? Because I really, now I'm only going to do a few minutes of that, but I really want to emphasize at the end, spiritual exercise that will change your life so you'll have the strength to walk pure. All right, so here we go. By the way, sexual purity is not, it just, being pure affects all sorts of areas of your life. All right. If you're taking notes, I always give you like the main thing that I want you to walk out of here, get to the mailbox and still remember. So when your kid says, what'd you learn? You're like, oh yeah, oh yeah. So this is the main thing. Write this down. The main idea that I want you to understand knowing when you walk out of here, your atmosphere becomes your sphere. S-P-H-E-R-E. Your atmosphere becomes your sphere. Okay, and that simply means the atmosphere that you allow, the stuff that you allow, the atmosphere that you allow yourself into will become the sphere of your life, the things that you do in your life, okay? They'll become a part of your life. So the things that you allow in your life will become a part of your life, all right? So the spiritual exercise that I'm going to talk about is something that's like supercharged, that'll flood you, this exercise, you know? Yeah, right. Okay, this spiritual exercise I'm going to give you is going to charge you, that it'll flood your life so that you can walk pure in all areas of your life, in all areas of your life. So that's where we're going to go today. But first, let me tell you a story. I have this pastor friend, Pastor Joe. He's probably pastoring about the same time as Jack and I, about 25, 30 years ago. But about 25 years ago, he was working as a welder. Do we have any welders in this place? You will be appalled at what my friend Pastor Joe is. So he was working as a welder, and he was welding bronze for about 1 year. Then he went to Bible school, and then he pastored. So we had this conversation. This is a long time ago. And about 10 years into pastoring, Pastor Joe, he was just having some issues, and he decided to go to a holistic doctor, and they did one of these live blood tests. Don't ask me anymore. I don't know what it is, but that's what he told me, okay? So they did this live blood test on him. What the doctor said, hey, Joe, you know, I see something in your blood. It's bronze. I see bronze in your blood test, as the results came back. And he said, did you ever weld bronze? And Pastor Joe was like, whoa, what are you, psychic or something? You know, he's having one of these, and he goes, no, I see it in your blood. And Pastor Joe said, hey, listen, but it's like 10 years ago, I was a welder. Now, what I forgot to say, he was a welder in sort of a schlep place where they didn't have any proper ventilation. They didn't have masks. All they had was that helmet, the welder's helmet. That's all he had. He did for about a year, year and a half. So he says, yeah, I used to weld, but it was like 10 years ago. And the doctor says, well, listen, once it's in your blood, it's in your blood, okay, and you can't get rid of it. Now, it's not going to harm you. You're going to be fine. But I was just kind of curious, how come I could see bronze in your blood? So Pastor Joe and I were talking, and I remembered this because it goes with my message, because really the air that Joe was breathing, you know, for that year or so that he was welding, became the atmosphere. That was the atmosphere that soon became the sphere in his life. That was the air that he was breathing that kept the blood with these bronze things in it, okay? So that's all natural stuff. That's all natural stuff. And hey, listen, there's other examples. You know, we are really tough on secondhand smoke. Everybody know what secondhand smoke is? Okay. All right. One time I was with Joy, and I was in San Francisco, and we're at a crosswalk, and this lady and her husband, I'm assuming, had this little baby, probably 9 months old, and she's sucking on a cigarette, blowing smoke. My Joy, we always know, she'd make a lawyer, make sure she's on team. She whipped around, and I was like, girl, shh, get out, come on, let's just keep moving. She was ready to jump all over this mom, because secondhand smoke, not only is there a smoke coming out of the cigarette, the smoke that that mom was blowing was going to, that's the atmosphere that was going to be inside this baby, okay? So don't mess with Joy, okay? All right. I hope she doesn't listen to this. I'm going to be in trouble. Okay. All right. So the same thing spiritually true. The same thing spiritually true. Our atmosphere can put us in a place that we are not going to like. All right. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, each week we highlight one Olympic sport and an athlete. And this week I'm going to talk about the high jump. Any of you ever do the high jump in high school or college? Of course, the tall people do it. I know. That's good. That's good. Okay. You know, these 5'4" people, they're not going to do so. Okay. High jump. This year, let me read my notes so I can do that. This year, the event was won by a Canadian, Derek Drounin, D-R-O-U-N-I-N. He's from Canada, and he won the gold, 2.38 meters, which translates 7 feet, 9 inches and a smidgen. 7 feet, 9 inches. 7 feet, 9 inches. Crazy, okay? But in 1996, the Olympics that were held in Atlanta, a U.S. team member, his name is Charles Austin, he set a new world Olympic record, a new Olympic standard, and he jumped 7 feet, 10 inches. Then I also researched, because I was just like, what? Crazy. You know, I don't even think I can do 6 inches, you know, let alone that way. There's this guy from Cuba who has the world championship, and his is like 8 feet something, just crazy, okay? So anyway, can you believe human beings jump that tall? It's just crazy, crazy. Okay, so let me tell you about the high jump. You have this parallel bar, right? And then you have these two side posts, parallel bar, and you have these two side posts. And they're supposed to run, go head first, and then they do this backward thing over the parallel, and then they jump up. Easy peasy, right? Yeah, piece of cake. Yeah, okay. Incredible. But let me tell you something. You know what these two posts on the side are called? Posts, no. You have to go one more level on Google and they'll tell you. They're called the standard. Isn't that cool? They're called the standard. The two posts are called the standards, okay? And you know why they're the standard and why they're so cool? Because everybody that jumps over them, okay, well, let me say this. Those two posts, the standards, they can be raised up, and they can be raised down. Okay, that's thing. But the base can't move. The base can't move. If the base moves, the whole contest has to start all over. All right? And they have to run and jump all over, because if that base moves. So the base, the standard, has to be the same for everybody. The standard always has to stay the same for everybody. I'm going someplace with this in case you didn't write that down. Okay. All right. Now, listen. What's our standard? The B-I-B-L-E-S-S, the book for me. Okay. The Bible. The Bible's our standard. Yes, Hannah, I still sing that song. She's just like cracking up here. All right. The standard. Okay. The Bible's our standard. And listen, you will never know the standard of God unless you get into the Word of God. You will never know God's standard on how you live your life. You will never know it unless you get into the Word of God. So we have a standard, okay? Now, the great thing about the standard here, it never changes. But listen, guys, we live in a culture. If you grew up in the 50s, the culture has changed by the time it got to the 60s. If you grew up in the 60s, by the time you got to the 80s, the culture changed. The culture is always changing. But this is our standard, and it doesn't change for everyone, just like those posts. Okay? All right, this is there. Now, if you can't live according to the culture, you can't decide, well, everybody's doing it. I used to tell my mother that. Gosh. And then my kids start out saying that. I'm like, smack, smack, smack. Don't you dare say that. Okay. They do. They say that. So listen, you cannot, as a Christian, you should not, you really cannot live your life according to the culture's standard. Because it changes. You need to find out what the Bible says, and you need to say, oh, what does that Bible say? That is how I'm going to live my life. Because when you find that, you will run your race and win. And we want to win our race, right? I found out I was super competitive. I plan on winning, and I'll knock you out, right? Okay. You know what else I liked about the high jump? That when I was studying this and looking at this, is it can go up. It can be raised. Listen, you, wherever you are, can raise the standard of your life to match God's. So you, wherever you are, all right, you can raise the standard up to God's standard. And then you get there, you can go even higher. Because actually we are supposed to grow, okay? So here's in my heart what I want to share today that's really in my heart. In the area of purity, if you're struggling in that area, listen, I want today to be a moment where you go, oh, okay, I really am. I got some issues here. I want to raise my life to God's standard. I want to raise my life to God's standard. And we're going to find out how God does that in your life and how he helps you in that life, okay? Would you all turn over? I'm going to give you a standard scripture. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is one of those standard scriptures. And I don't care if you don't like it, because it's one of God's standards. It's a scripture that's a standard. And there's a whole bunch more, but I picked this one here. Okay, better find my scriptures here. You know, someone asked me, Pastor D, why do you pick all these funny Bibles that you read out? Because I want them to say what I want them to say. No. Yes. Yes and no. The other part is, you know, if you're reading the King James, God bless you, but I don't talk like that, and you probably figured that out. So I'll pick, like, especially the Message Bible and the Living Bible. The Living Bible actually does a really good job with the Greek and the Hebrew, but the Message Bible just makes it like life. It just tells it like life, okay? So today I'm picking the Message Bible as I read this here. Okay. 1 Corinthians 6:16. Y'all there? Yep. One person's there, because I heard the rattle. Rattle there. Okay. There's more to sex than mere skin to skin. Sex is as much spiritual mystery as the physical fact. So he's saying, hey, sex is physical, but there's something more to it that's spiritual. There's a mystery to it. There's spiritual, all right? Verse 16, let's keep reading. As is written in the scriptures, the two become one. Guess what? He's talking about marriage. The two become one. Anybody know that scripture? Right? Two become one. Verse 17. Since we want to become spiritually one with the Master, Jesus, right? You must not pursue the kind of sex that avoids commitment and intimacy, leaving us more lonely than ever, the kind of sex that never becomes one. Okay, so I just want to point out a couple of things from this scripture. Number one, it's talking about marriage. Did you see that? It's talking about marriage in there. And it's talking about how sex was created for marriage. Okay? So if you're not married and you're having sexual relationships, it says you're not committed. There's no commitment. Okay? So if you're not married, there's no commitment. And if there's no commitment, the next word was intimacy. All right? And because of that, you have a lack of commitment. Right? So listen, what it's also saying is you can't become spiritually one with Jesus like you're supposed to. Yes, I received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, but he's got some big, deep walk for me to walk in. And if you are sexually impure, you're not going to run that race really deep like he wants you to. All right. So that'll keep you from a close walk. And actually, I've seen it time and time again. It'll knock you out of the race. It'll just knock you out of the race. So listen, God's heart for us today is to become sexually pure. All right. Because that's the standard, right? Is that the standard scripture? That's a standard scripture, okay? And actually, there's dozens of scriptures. I just picked that one, all right? There's a whole bunch more. I was thinking back. If I could recount all the people that came in for counseling with Jack and I, and they were not married and they were living sexually impure lives, they all would say at some point in time, you know, I just sort of feel empty on the inside. Matter of fact, I was talking to a dad about his son who was doing all that. He says, you know, you'd think he's having sex, 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 sex. He should be so happy. He said he's not. He's miserable. Listen, it's fun. Sex is fun. Okay, I can't look at this bunch over here. Okay. All right? But it leaves you empty. Okay? It leaves you empty. Because that scripture tells us it was meant for the covenant, the union of marriage. Okay? Amen. Amen, Pastor D. Amen. All right. There was a study done. I found this because, you know, I always look for things that back it up. There was a study done in the University of Chicago. It's a secular study. And what they didn't know is they were going to prove the Bible was true. So this is a secular study done at the University of Chicago. Woohoo! On the sexual behavior. Whoa, okay, this is what they said. Here we go. Lord Almighty, here we go. Gee whiz. All right, serious. It says, the highest level of sexual satisfaction is found between married conservative Christians. The highest level of sexual satisfaction was found in married conservative Christians. This is a not Christian bunch that proved the Bible. I'm pretty sure they were not too thrilled with that, what they found out. Okay, so what's a conservative Christian? They believe the Bible is the Word of God. They believe the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. So they said, they looked at all their studies and they said, the bunch that gets the most satisfaction is that bunch. Y'all Christians married should be going, yay! Okay. All right. So really what it proves is the Bible is true that sex was made for marriage. Okay. Moving along. Here we go. I want to talk about a spiritual exercise that will help you live pure lives. I'm going to talk about a spiritual exercise. It's called worship. Worship. My worship team, I was like, high five, thank you, Pastor D. Okay, because I prayed with them, and you should hear what they pray. So I was like, don't worry, guys, I got it covered today. Here we go. Okay, a spiritual exercise that will help you live pure in your life is worship. And I like to say, worship is the atmosphere of heaven. You ought to write that down. Worship team, write that down. That should be up in the front here. Okay, worship is the atmosphere of heaven, and I'm going to give you some scriptures to talk about it. All right. Now we sang some songs and it was pretty cool. It was great. It was good. All right. And what happens while we're singing songs, the atmosphere of heaven comes. All right. Now, how many of you read the book of Revelations? You should read it because it says you're blessed. So once a year, get it out, read it. Right. Because it doesn't say like the third verse or something like that. Those that read it will be blessed. So if you're short on blessings, just go read through the book of Revelations. All right. Ho, ho, here we go. Revelations chapter 4, Revelations chapter 5, and the book of Ezekiel, and I don't remember where, talks a lot about what's going on in heaven. Talks a lot about what's going on in heaven. So I'm going to ask you, do you know what's going on in heaven? Worship. That's right. Chapter 4 and 5, you know, they're singing holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. There's a lot of worship going on in heaven. All right, so worship and heaven. Oh, that's pretty cool. Okay, now, we were talking about the air that we breathe, the atmosphere that we're breathing gives us life. If you're not breathing air, you're dead, right? You don't breathe air, you're dead. Okay, so think about this. Heaven's atmosphere is worship. Heaven's atmosphere is worship. So when you and I worship, you and I get your hands out of your pocket, open your mouth, okay? The atmosphere of heaven comes down. Boy, it's sure quiet in this place. Okay. Actually, I like to think about the presence, and we were singing a song, the presence of God comes upon us. Yes, I have God, the Spirit of God living inside me, but when I get into this worship where I'm singing and loving the Lord, the atmosphere of heaven, the presence of God just comes upon me, all right? So I think that's a pretty good exercise if you are struggling with impurity in your life. Just it'll knock it out of the park, okay? Now listen, worship is not weird. People are weird. Okay? And I have been hit in the head with flag twirlers. Okay? So generally speaking, the flag's not so bad, but I don't like getting hit. All right? And I love to see you dance, but if you're doing a cartwheel and you have a dress on, I'm going to sit you down. Okay? Because you're worshiping. All right? And, but really, the people can be weird, but worship is not weird. God's not weird. Okay? I'm not that weird, am I? You asked for it. Okay. I moved this. Here we go. So I want to talk about Lane. I want to talk about the presence of God through worship. Because if you get worship inside of you, you get the presence and the atmosphere of God just really moving inside of you, it will strengthen you. It will strengthen your life. It'll strengthen your life, okay? And so much so, if you've got this continually thing going on and you've got worship going on in your life, you're worshiping, God, I love you. You're just so wonderful what you've done for me. You came and rescued me. How I love you. I'm not singing, but, I'm doing this worship part, talking here. There's so much of the presence of God coming and that I'm aware of that when I hear God say, hey, D, that thing there is wrong, I am so tuned in. I'm like, yeah, I'm going that way. All right. So it's good to be in the presence of God. It's good to have a worship going on. It'll direct you. It'll keep you. All right. So would you, matter of fact, I quoted this Psalm 22 verse 3 this morning when we started. Psalm 22 verse 3, and the New Living Bible says, yet you, God, are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Well, enthroned in my praises. How about that? So we see that God is holy. We see you, God, are holy. Now, the day you received Jesus Christ, you became a part of his family. I am part of the family. I was made in the image of him. So guess what I am now? Holy. Right? When you receive Jesus into your life, the Spirit, the life of God came inside of you. If he is holy, he has made you holy. Now, I got to act like it some days, not so holy, but that's what's inside of me. I am holy, okay? So that's became a part of me. So now we're holy. So God's presence comes down when we worship. God's presence comes down, we worship. Okay, now I found a squirrely Bible trans Bible. Here it goes. It's called the Voice Bible. Psalm 22, verse 3. It says, still, you are holy. You make your home in the praises of Israel. You make your home in the praises of us's. Okay? So just think. You start worshiping God. You start praising him. You can sing it or you can speak it, but it's God, you're a wonderful God. I love you. Okay? So you start speaking that. That's the presence God dwells in. That's the atmosphere. So what comes up comes back down. We start doing that to God and he just puts it back down. So I want to just tell you a couple of things that I found out why worship is so important. How many of you would agree that when you've got some music going and you attach words, you remember it? All right. So I'm walking down the mall and I hear this song from when I was a high school and I start singing it. Okay, I'm not singing today. Da, 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 da. All right. So listen, when you attach words to music, it sticks to you. It gets inside of you. So worship, not only the music side of it, but the word side of it, it'll stick to you. So it's great. It's great to be a worshiper. Amen. It sticks to you. I've told this story before. I asked Joe and Erica before they had kids if they'd be in our preschool department if they'd teach. And they were in college, and they said, sure, we'll teach. So now Erica was a piece of cake because she was a L-Edge major. Joe, he's the number guy. He didn't know what he was getting into. But Joe's kind of a goofball, so he was all for it. He's like, okay, kids, just run in there. So he calls me up. They're teaching the curriculum that that time was on how God created the world and everything in it. God made the bees. God made the birds. God made this. God made everything in it. And we had this cute little song, God made the world and everything in it. God made the world. Da 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 da. Joe calls me up in the middle of the week. Pastor D, I wake up in the morning and I'm singing, God made the world and everything in it. God made the world and everything in it. Pastor D, the week. So, all right. You put music and words together, it'll stick inside you, right? Right? Okay. Now, just think if the worship has the word of God in it. You're actually getting the word of God in you. And the word of God is the presence of God. And you are singing and the presence of God is just all upon you. All right? So that's why we get a little, anyway, I won't go that story. I'm going to get left turn. All right. All right. So I will tell you probably 99% of the time I will leave this place this morning. And Monday morning, Vanessa, I wake up and I am singing your worship songs. I always get one stuck inside of there and I will just sing it. Okay, I will just sing it. What's that one? My soul sings, oh, I love you. Ah. Okay, that wasn't one of those. That was pretty bad. When I sing that song, all right. But I'll sing that all week long, and then I'll just be driving and stopping, and I start singing the songs that the worship team, okay? So it is really powerful. Worship is powerful. You put the word of God, actually the word of God, the words of God, the Bible words in these music, and worship gets stuck in you. But listen, it gets upon you and in you, and it strengthens you. Amen. Praise God. All right. Don't you love the presence of God? Presence of God. Amen. So that's one way you can do it. Let's see. Now, I tell this story. I mean, I talk about this at least once a year. I have a routine. Where's Dave and Diane? I'm routine. Unless something throws me off, I'm routine. I make my coffee and I sit down on the sofa and I read my Bible. I get my Bible out and I'll read anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes. And on Monday, I am camping. I'm having a great old time. I'll go for an hour just reading the word. And then after I've read the word for a while, what I'll do is I'll just kind of I'll either put on a worship CD or I'll hit my cell phone, which I finally learned how to do this. I can pull up. It's amazing. I'll pull up a worship song and I'll just play it. I'll just play it. I get really still and I'll just play this music. And next thing I know, I'll just sing one of the songs. I'll just sing, not real loud, but just I'll just start singing. And I sound really good when you have the music on, okay? And I just sing into the Lord. I sound so good. I'm telling you, just so good, all right? So I'm singing. Then sometimes I'll sing in the Spirit. And then I'll stop for a while, and I'll just pray. I'll pray in the Holy Spirit. Or then I start praying for my family. I start praying for you guys. All of a sudden, your names come up, and I'll start praying. I'll pray for people. I'll pray wherever the Holy Spirit leads me. Okay. And I'll start praying for that. And then I just get real still again. And I act like I'm in the throne of God. There's the big throne. And I got a seat right next to him. I just sit there. Man, Jesus, man, just so good to be here with you. And then I start singing again. Just start singing. And I sound so good. And then I'm ready for my day and I'm gone. Okay, that's my routine. That's my routine. And some of you are sitting here going, Pastor D, I don't have enough time. Well, let me tell you something. I make time to be in the presence of God. I make time to make time in the Word. I make time to worship Him. Because if I'm not, I am Oscar the Grouch. Okay, if you are a critical person, a judgmental person, you ought to get into this. Okay. Some of you sort of are. Well, you know, get some worship going and it'll bring the presence down. And next thing you know, you're strengthened. And next thing you know, you've got this peace and joy. And you know, God starts talking to you. And then my hope's back up and my faith's just cruising. All because I've got this routine, this exercise going on. Okay? Now, some of you sitting here thinking, Pastor D, I do not have enough time. There is no way. There is no way. I don't have enough time to do all that. Okay, listen. Could you just sing one song once a week? Just find a CD. Ask my worship team. If you don't know CDs, okay, what's out there. Or some of you, I love when I have my 70, 80, 90-year-olds, and they nicely say they don't like what we sing. And I say, fine. Fine, and I say some other things, but fine, you get your CD out, okay, that you sang when you were whatever age, and you just sing that, okay? Just once a week, plop a CD on and just listen to it. I didn't ask you to sing, okay? Just get into that where it's the word and music, and you get into that atmosphere. And I'm telling you, next thing you know, you might even be singing. Okay, you'll be singing, all right? So here's a good step. How about get in your car? How many of you drive at least 10 minutes to get to work? More than 10 minutes, okay. You can plop in a CD. Turn off the news, turn off the sports report, and just plop a CD in and just listen to it, okay? And then if you want, you can start singing, okay? I had this guy tell me this. This is a couple years ago because I was talking about this. And he said, you know, Pastor D, I know that read your Bible thing. He says, so, but I thought I could at least do the worship thing. He says, because he drives 35 minutes to work. So he cleared out everything and plopped in a CD. And he would just, for the first couple days, he would just listen to that over and over, whatever CD it was, okay? And he said about day four or five, probably by Friday, he said, I had to pull the car over and stop driving because I just knew the presence of God and I was just beside myself. So warning, 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 keep both eyes open and one hand on the steering wheel or pull over, okay? But listen, he got it. He got it. And his life changed. His life changed. It became a real deal in his life that he just incorporated into his life. So how many of you, you know, shave at least twice a week? Okay, I know beards are in. All right. Legs count too, ladies, okay? But, you know, put a CD on while you're shaving. Put a CD on while you're doing your makeup thing. Put a CD on if you're pile of clothes and you're folding. Just put a CD on and just get this atmosphere to be big in your life that it affects your life. All right? Real simple. All right. Now, I'm going to close with one more Bible story. Can you guys pop that picture of the ark up? Okay, I'm going to start with one. Just do this here. Here we go. Oh, you know, we love that we have light in here. Okay. This is a picture of the Ark of the Covenant. Okay? The Ark of the Covenant is actually a box. And God told Moses to build this box, the Ark of the Covenant, and he specifically gave him real exact things, you know, the angels, blah, 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 okay? So God told him to build this, and he says, then I want you to stand in its, when you stand in its presence, I will be there, and I will talk to you, okay? Now, that's old covenant. That's an old covenant thing. You'll find it. It's cool stories about the Ark of the Covenant and what was going on. But really, that ark was a type of God's presence. That box represented a type of the presence of God. Okay? And everywhere that box, that Ark of the Covenant went, the presence of God would go. So they would move to this city, and the presence of God would go. They would take this box, this Ark, and they'd move to this city, and the presence of God would go with them. Okay? That's a type of Old Testament. Now, we live in a New Testament. Oh, by the way, who was allowed to carry that box in the Old Covenant? Only, big word, only, priests. Okay? Only the priest could carry it. Now, we're New Testament. Say, yay, I'm New Testament. New Testament, God says he's made you priests unto him. So you are a priest unto the Lord. And you have a priestly ministry like they did. And your priestly ministry is to offer up sacrifices of praise and worship. I'm not singing anymore. Okay? That's your ministry. Offer up praises and worship to the Lord. That's our New Testament ministry, okay? And when you do that, just like that, the presence of God, you start doing that, it goes up, and then the presence of God comes upon you. It's in you, but man, I like it upon me and just really washing me through. So I'm worshiping God, and it's going up to the throne room of God, to where the atmosphere, and then it comes back down, and it's just strengthening me. It's doing great things in me. So I'm worshiping God because I'm a part of the priestly ministry. Yeah, Pastor D. And then it comes down upon me. Isn't that the coolest thing? That is the coolest thing. Okay, now, 1 Samuel chapter 5. I had to tell you all about that ark so you get this, what's going on. 1 Samuel chapter 5. Here we go. Background. Israel was at war with the Philistines. Those are the bad guys. The Philistines are the bad guys. The good guys wear the white hat. That's Israel. Okay, so they're at war, and the Philistine wins this particular battle. And they take the ark. They take the box with them back to their city, into their temple where they worship idols. Okay, we know they didn't know that. We knew that, all right? So Israel lost the battle. The Philistines take this and they steal it, okay? And the name of their god was Dagon. And there's different commentaries on it, but Dagon was an idol that we would call an idol. The top part was a head of a beautiful woman or a guy, and the bottom part was a fish tail. All right, I'm sure you've got one of those on your front lawn, right? Good. Good, because I'm coming over. All right? Okay. And one commentary says it was actually a sex god. So they would worship this Dagon god for a sex god. That's one commentary. I only found one guy that said that. So anyway, so they steal this because they think it's an idol that people worship. So they're going to throw it in with their idols. So they put the Ark of the Covenant next to their Dagon, their idol, their statue here. And here's the Ark of the Covenant, which is the yeah, the presence of God, all right? Those dingbats didn't know it. Okay, here we go. Chapter 5, 1 Samuel chapter 5. The Philistines took the captured Ark of God from the battleground of wherever that is, to the temple of their idol Dagon in the city of Ashdod. And when the local citizens went in the next morning, okay, so they got the ark. They put it in right next to their statue, right? So when they get there the next morning, when the local citizens went in the next morning, Dagon had fallen face to the ground before the ark of Jehovah. Okay? So they set it up again. But the next morning, the same thing happened. The idol had fallen face down before the ark, the presence of God, right? All right, but this time his head and his hand had been cut off and were lying in the doorway. Only the trunk of the body was left intact. Pretty cool, huh? That's pretty cool. All right, so what's God showing us in this picture? That has to do with our spiritual exercise, okay? When we worship, this is how I take that. When we worship, when we spend time in the presence of God, when we worship him, guess what happens? We get strengthened on the inside, that we can say no to these temptations of impurity. And we get changed, all right? Through this worship, we get strengthened because of the presence of God. So pretty, that's just like amazing cool. So if you are struggling with impure thoughts, if you're here and you're struggling with pornography, guess what? If you're struggling with any area, you're struggling with cigarettes, you're struggling with cussing like a sailor, you're struggling with the worst temper ever, guess what? Get in the presence. Get into worship, and it says it'll strengthen you. If you are like a person, I can tell you, get in the presence. Put on worship. Just get in the presence of God. And he says he will strengthen you so that you are able to say no. Okay? That is why I get in the presence. Yep, you like me much better. I like me much better. All right? Okay, let's, I think I've said enough. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes here. Hallelujah, let's pray. Praise God. Yeah, I have 4 more pages of notes. I'm not going to do that. All right. All right. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for bringing light into our life. I thank you, Father, that we have learned that your presence, your atmosphere in our life, the atmosphere of worship will strengthen us and just create greatness in our life, that we can walk and do and finish our race. So we thank you for your word. We thank you for this encouragement. And if you're here today and you're like one of those that, you know, I'm doing pretty good on this purity thing, well, just keep asking the Lord where else you need it in your life, where else you need this worship in your life. If you're here today and you're just being, you know where you're struggling with impurity. You don't have to make a list. You don't have to come up here, but you can just say, hey, God, I'm really, really, you know, God, I'm struggling this. And just, you know, set aside some time where you just get, where you sing unto him, you get into that atmosphere of heaven, it comes upon you, it strengthens you. So I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you, Father, for this people that will be doers of the word, and they'll walk strong, and they'll finish their race, and they'll stand before you, and you will say, well done, come on in. There's a pile of rewards. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen.